I'm Rachel Otwell for NPR Illinois. The hashtag MeToo is trending on social media. It's a way for people to bring attention to the issue of sexual harassment and violence. I went to the headquarters for the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault in Springfield to talk with its executive director, Polly Poskin, about her reaction to the trend and what people can do to help address the issue further.
I think it's very positive. I think that as a result of social media, when folks wish to come forward, it has several, I think, positive consequences. One, it does inform us as the public about the pervasiveness of sexual harassment and sexual abuse, sexual assault. You know, that's all on a spectrum. And I think the other thing is, just for the individuals who come forward, it can be a great sense of relief just to have said out loud what happened to them. And I think the other thing that's, you know, helpful is that maybe folks who are accountable, you know, for this behavior, the perpetrators of the behavior will recognize that they can be easily disclosed, that sort of what people have kept as a secret because maybe they were ashamed that it would happen, maybe they didn't get any support when they came forward and said what happened. We know that usually it's perpetrated by people in positions of authority, and maybe that's going to send a message, you know, across America. I don't care what the industry is.
When it comes to what's reportable, though, a lot of what people are talking about are things that they never went to the authorities with. That can be kind of a murky area, I think. What would your advice be as far as when it's appropriate to report an incident?
When an individual feels sort of sexually threatened, sexually violated, they should tell anybody as soon as it happens, because it leaves you with this sense of harm. It leaves you with this sense of, what if that escalated? So the reaction to it can be pretty traumatic. The incident itself, like you say, catcalling, you know, might appear not to be harmful, but it's the fear that people live with about if they felt comfortable enough doing that in public, then what might else they do? Or am I being stalked? Am I being watched? And so I think it's very important for people to talk to someone. Can be your sister, it can be your brother, you know, it can be your mom, dad, it might be the school counselor, best friend. Be certain to tell somebody that what happened and how it made you feel. I think that's also empowering. People listening need to hear what it feels like. So I think it's very important. Now, can you report catcalling to law enforcement? I think if you see a pattern, if you have a particular route you take to work, if you have a particular incident that's occurring in a large workplace or your school setting or even your place of faith, I think it's very important at some point, because what we're learning is that sometimes that isn't the only behavior that person's engaging in.
One thing about the Me Too hashtag, I think it brings to light that this is so prevalent, especially in females' lives, that we almost just assume it's a given and don't address it. And now it's getting addressed on a larger scale. There's still obviously stigma, there's dismissiveness, there's all those issues. How do you go about telling a survivor to talk about something when maybe they don't want to?
Well, the first thing we do is to believe them and acknowledge how courageous it was to come forward. You're probably in a position where the person who is perpetrating that behavior, they're counting on you not seeking help, and they're counting on you not getting the support and the empowerment. So when people come to us, primarily women, but we encourage men to come too, and we really want parents to bring children, is to tell them, you know, we're really sorry this happened to you. We believe you. What would you need? What would make you feel safer? You know, how it is that can other people that know you and love you on a daily basis be supportive? And having the conversation, having the dialogue really empowers everybody, both the sort of the bystander, if you will, and or the, you know, the friendship or the family support system.
We know that men can be harassed and victims of sexual violence as well. I was looking at a pamphlet that you have out. While it acknowledges that, says we're kind of going to focus on the female experience, there has been some reaction out there online that I've seen from males who say, you know, our voices now feel like they're getting drowned out. What do you have to say about that and about why the focus is generally on females when it comes to this issue?
Well, historically what we know, and our statistics show, and maybe it won't be the case once more men come forward, but it's primarily women who are sexually harassed, sexually abused, sexually assaulted. and primarily by men. And it's children, if they are harassed or sexually abused, sexually assaulted, it's primarily by adults. And so there's a power dynamic there. You know, it's, and what we have to say is that if we can eliminate that power dynamic, if we could create more equality between men and women and adults and children, then I think the harassment, the abuse, the assault would go away, because people would regard one another as equals. You would have respect for them, and we don't harm people that we respect as our equal. And at the same time, we don't want to discourage men and, you know, males from coming forward to say that it happened to them. I will say this, I think sexual harassment and sexual abuse and sexual assault has been, you know, so incredibly responded to by women. I mean, it's survivors who built, you know, rape crisis centers and shelters for battered women, and that's been very empowering. We don't want to lose sight of sort of what that has meant in women's lives in terms of their empowerment and overcoming the trauma and going forward to lead productive lives. At the same time, I believe that when men want sexual harassment, sexual abuse, and rape to stop, it will stop.
There are men out there saying, what do I do to help? I'm sure there's females who would also like to be better advocates. How would you suggest somebody go about trying to take on this issue in their own maybe immediate community?
Oh, you know, join the board of directors of your rape crisis center. Look to see if you're particularly dedicated to this issue. You could do prevention education. I mean, prevention education, you know, that includes the male voice, can be very effective. And then interrupt terrible jokes by friends or colleagues in your presence. Sit down, have a one-to-one conversation with them. If that doesn't work, call them out publicly. Men need to become bystanders. You know, the It's On Us campaign that was created under the Obama administration really encouraged people to recognize the significance of supportive voices. And, you know, you don't have to do a lot to interrupt it. I've been so heartened by some of the women in this work who have sons or nephews, and they'll tell stories about, Mom, we were going out Friday night, and the guys started talking about, hey, if we run into a group of girls, what we'll do. And I just said, hey, guys, let's stop that. And, I mean, that lifts you up, because you know that guys talking to guys are key to the male behavior, you know, stopping when it's intended to be harmful.
What about the educational aspect and teaching kids who are maybe a little younger, too, about concepts like consent and about not partaking in harassing behavior?
Well, I think with kids, you have to start with safety issues. And you have to start with recognition that this is your body and that, you know, you're entitled to be safe. And then you can sort of build on the kind of the words and the language that you can use with kids about positive sexual, you know, behavior and non-consensual sexual behavior. I think it's really important, because kids are amazing. You know, kids, not only are kids resilient when something happens to them, kids are very respectful if they're treated as if they have, you know, an understanding or a capacity, to kind of implement what you're telling them to do. And we have to do that more, because kids have to learn at an early age to respect one another and to understand that you don't have a right, you know, to hurt another person's body, and that you can call out, you know, for help and support. So we're great believers in the younger, the better. We have K through three, you know, grade three programs. We have, you know, four through six. Then we have middle school, and we have high school and college. But yeah, I think the sooner kids know that you don't touch somebody else without permission to do that, then I think we'll see a decrease in the harm that's done to other people.
Overall, we're still seeing the fallout of the Me Too campaign. What do you hope ultimately might result from this?
A couple of things. First of all, I hope that the women who have come forward feel like, you know, sort of a great relief has kind of descended on their lives. Because once, when you hold something inside, it has very debilitating effects. And once you release that, you start to feel that there's this burden lifted. I hope more people continue to talk about, you know, any harassment or abuse or assault that has occurred. I hope they seek out the help at rape crisis centers or the help of their, you know, school counselor, anybody who they feel is a safe place to be, to talk about that, because that's what's empowering. Once your truth is out and other people acknowledge your truth, avenues, channels open up as to just then how you start to move more freely in the world. So I hope that happens. I hope we shift the minds of a lot of the people who are decision makers, which in this world, in this country, still tend to be a lot of white males who are in very powerful positions all the way through law enforcement, criminal justice, the courts, and, you know, in our legislatures, you know, to hear that what people are saying is happening to them is a violation. And where does it rest on your right to some kind of civil or criminal intervention? So that we take seriously. I mean, we're a law sort of abiding country. I mean, and we believe that law should be accessible to people who feel they've suffered violation. So we need people to open their minds and look differently about what the sort of the immediate impact is on the person's life, but the long-term consequences this has on people's lives that leads to all kinds of other needs that sometimes have to be met, which are costly, you know, affect our health, you know, mental, physical, and the well-being of our community. So we can't just see this as sort of an acute incident or a one-time incident, and then sort of once it's over and or the person gets support, it's all sort of over and taken care of. Because that's not the case. It has such long-term, you know, impact on the individual and then extenuating impact on the people in his or her life, that we just need to stop it.